Thanks, Shane. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Caramaga, Dermot, good afternoon on this Friday afternoon. How are you? 51551, ray at rte.ie. Jerry, straight in to 51551. Any chance you could give my sister Carolyn in Toronto, Canada, a shout out? She loves listening to the crack on the show. It reminds her of home. While she's running around in the morning, her eldest son Connor is getting married late next month and she's even busier than usual. Hello, Carolyn in Toronto. That's easily done, Jerry. Thanks for that text, 51551. We had a great week this week. A very interesting week of radio, I think. If I say so myself, we had Lifesavers on the double. We had children's authors on the triple or the treble. And we had singular comedians or even just one comedian. Yeah, Dee Laws was with us on Monday, told an amazing story. She's a Navan woman. She was sleeping alone one night in the house. The husband was off doing the night shift and she woke up to crackling and heat and flames. And she knew quite soon that the only thing she could do was get out. And she was on the first floor of her house and she had to jump out the window. And she told us that story in vivid detail. It was brilliant. You were there. She's fine. She broke her foot, and she's making a full recovery. And then on Tuesday, by coincidence, and that's the way the things happen when you're doing a daily radio show, we spoke to Don O'Neill, who told us the story of Saturday in Ballyhaig in Kerry, and him and his husband Pascal coming back from a swim and hearing somebody in distress and going down and saving somebody. So Dee saved herself, Don and Donal. Who was another man on the beach, saved somebody in Ballyhaig. And then just by coincidence as well, we had three children's authors on this week. Yesterday we had Ellen Ryan, great book called Girls Who Slay Monsters, a collection of stories never told about Irish goddesses. Well, I suppose they have been told, but never appeared in a book. And then on Wednesday we had Robin Stevens, who writes murder mysteries for the tween market. And on Tuesday, David Williams, talked to us about his new book, Space Boy, and he told, I think, James from Westmeath that he has written 720,000 words in his writing career. I think 36 books he's written in all. And then yesterday, Dylan Moran was in with us, comedian Dylan Moran, writer, actor, and we had a long chat. I went to see him last night. Very funny man. I don't know about you, but as a man, when you go to see a male comedian, I always come out feeling a little bit of a lesser human being. I know I shouldn't, but he's up there and he's funny and the person you love in your life is sitting beside you and she's laughing and you know that you can't make her laugh as much as he makes her laugh. And, you know, it's anyway, it passes within 5 minutes. But he was brilliant last night. He was in Vicar Street. I think he's there again tonight. And we had a long chat yesterday. And it ended up on a hopeful note. He said, like, we have to sort out the world, Ray. We have to sort out the world because the squirrels aren't going to do it, so, which is great. So you can listen back to all of those on the radio player. And if you have the old blue one, just press update because there's a new and shiny black one that will replace it. And they're all there on the RT radio player. Yeah, speaking of the world and sorting it out, the month after, because next month is tomorrow, isn't it? Yeah, tomorrow is the 1st of October, which is actually Willy Wonka Day. I don't know if you knew that, because that was the day in the book when they all went into the factory. Just for your information, and more about Roald Dahl coming up on the show. But anyway, in November, the population of the world is going to reach 8 billion. Right, that's spectacular. It is particularly spectacular when you think that back in 1974, the population of the world, of the Earth, of planet Earth, was 4 billion. So in 48 years, the world population has doubled in size. How's that going to pan out? And of course, we're not evenly spread out over the planet. And there's an amazing depiction of the concentration of population around the world. China, 1.45 billion, biggest population in the world. India, not far behind, 1.41 billion. And when you see those up against, say, Europe, we're not, you know, there aren't a lot of us Europeans really by comparison. And Nigeria, 218 million. Pakistan, 231 million. We have 5 million in the Republic of Ireland, just to put it in perspective. United States of America, 335 million. Anyway, 8 billion come November. And we've doubled in size since. 1974. While we're on figures, happy birthday and cheers to Cheers. Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You wanna be where you can see, troubles are all the same. You wanna be where everybody knows your name. Yes. Cheers premiered on September 30th, 1982, 40 years ago. 275 half-hour episodes across 11 seasons. Of course, Ted Danson. Yes, Ted Danson was there. He was the star. Carla, remember? Rhea Perlman. She's married to Danny DeVito, isn't she? She was the head waitress, and Woody Harrelson was the barman. His name was Woody. I don't know, just to make it easy for him. So when people said Woody, he knew to. Then Kirstie Alley was there, of course, and Kelsey Grammer, Frasier, and the spin-off. George Wendt and John Ratzenberger, they were Norm and Cliff, the two lads at the end of the bar. It's just, it was, they don't make them like that anymore. 93 million people watched the finale in 1993. 93 million, amazing. So cheers and happy birthday to Cheers. Lidl, this is serious, lads. Lidl has been told to destroy. Yes, destroy is the word used. It's gold chocolate bunnies. Poor bunnies. It lost a copyright case with Lindt, the chocolate people. Yeah, the chocolate bunny row has been going on for years, seemingly. And it went to Switzerland's highest court. And they sided with Lindt and ordered that all the imitation bunnies be destroyed. You know, they're lovely little bunnies that you get at Easter. And I think they do a reindeer version of it as well, with the little red thing and little bell around. And anyway, Lindt made them first. Lidl, as they often do, did a copy, cheaper. Lindt said, you can't be doing that. You can't be doing that. And they said, we can. And they said, we're going to bring you to court. And they brought him to court, and then it went higher and higher. And eventually Switzerland's highest court said, destroy the bunnies. And you're thinking, what a waste of chocolate. But seemingly they can take the silver wrapping or the gold wrapping off and melt down the chocolate and use it for other products, maybe like the Christmas reindeer. And then they'll be back in court. It's Colin the Caterpillar all over again. Yeah. Earlier in the week, you would have read, amazing, you know, James Earl Jones, he's 91, and he has been the voice of Darth Vader since 1977. And he's getting to a stage in his life where he can't reproduce that lovely, deep timbre, and he probably just wants the rest. So the people in Lucasfilms who make Star Wars and have been doing so since 1977, what do? We kill off Darth Vader? Do we get somebody else? What do you do? Anyway, Insteps, sort of a tech startup from Ukraine called Respeecher. And they can take anything that James Earl said in James Earl Jones as Darth Vader, and then they can create new dialogue. It's a bit like what they did with Charlie Bird. That's where technology's at. So they're going to continue Darth Vader, and they're going to use James Earl Jones's voice, albeit digitally produced, but you won't know the difference. That was at the beginning of the week. And we read today that Bruce Willis becomes the first Hollywood actor to sell image rights to artificial intelligence company. And this is, it's a bit poignant because Bruce Willis announced his retirement from acting in March. He's been diagnosed with aphasia, which affects his speech and language. And I suppose it makes acting nigh on impossible. So he has sold his rights. So in effect, with Respeecher, the technology that you're using for Darth Vader, and him selling on his rights, Bruce Willis could star in Die Hard, whatever it is, 15, and never be on set. That's the way the world is going. I remember watching a movie about that back in the 90s where some poor news anchor, that's what they were doing. He was sitting at home watching himself read the news. But that's it, and I'll be maybe if, yeah. You could do it with radio as well. It'll just be upstairs typing in, and then a voice will come out of a computer. Nobody will know any of the difference. Worrying, worrying. Now, you know we like to play a few bits of songs for you on a Friday. If we can. Like, if it's there, it's there. If it's not, we don't contrive it. But in the papers today, there's a list of the 20 best breakup songs. They interviewed 2,000 adults who'd been through breakups. And they asked them, what sort of music do you listen to after a breakup? And we have a list here. We're not going to play all 20. But so imagine you're heartbroken and you're at home and you have the ice cream and maybe the glass of wine or whatever you're doing, and then you what am I going to play on Spotify? And you go, yeah, I'll play that. We only said you go back to her and I go back to black. Amy Winehouse. We'd have to feature the king of conscious uncoupling, seeing as they are breakup songs. Yeah. When you love someone but it goes to waste, could it be worse? Now, that wasn't about a breakup. He actually wrote that for Gwyneth Paltrow after her dad died, but people listen to that after a breakup. Dolly Parton and Porter Wagoner. Now, Porter Wagoner had a TV show on the United States of America. And it was a country and western type thing. He sang songs and he spotted a very talented young lady called Dolly Parton. And I think she featured on his show for 7 years. And eventually she decided she was going to take the big leap and go solo and go out on her own. And she went home the evening before. This is how the story goes. It may not be totally factually correct, but why let the facts stand in the way of a good story? She went home the evening before she was leaving and she wrote this song.
Memories, that is all I'm taking with me. So goodbye, please don't cry. We both know I'm not what you need.
And seemingly it was only a business relationship, you know. There wasn't even, you know, that's the history of that song. And of course, that's Whitney Houston's version of it. And then there can be a bit of anger, can't there? You know, after a breakup and people feel a little bit off, the nose is out of joint. And if you're a songwriter and you just want to put it down on paper and you want to shout, don't you? You want to shout. Yes. Get off the fence, Taylor. Taylor Swift, seemingly a song written about Jake Soft G Gyllenhaal.
Getting back together. Like, ever.
Get off the fence. I can eat my dinner in a fancy restaurant, but nothing, I said nothing can take. Written by Prince, but our own Sinead O'Connor made it her own. And that video with the tears and the close-up and just amazing. Nothing compares to you. And then there's the girl power aspect of it, isn't it? And it's mainly girls who write about breakups and they're gonna survive. Yeah. Like, Adele has made a fortune out of breakup songs. You know what I mean? Like, if she's happy, she's probably not going to make any money. Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the best for you.
since day.
Thanks, Adele. Do you know the way they say every day is a school day? I didn't know that this song is a breakup song.
Knowing me, knowing you, there is nothing we can do. Knowing me, knowing you, we just have to face it this time. We're through.
Yeah, we've got to face it this time, we're through.
Breaking up is never See. Easy, I know.
There you go. I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't in that day. No, it's a bit jaunty for a breakup song, I would think. Cheers was such cozy TV, pure gold. Breakup songs. My breakup song is If This Is Goodbye by Mark Knopfler and Emmylou Harris. Best breakup song ever. And It Must Have Been Love, But It's Over Now. Roxette, yeah. Stuck in a Moment by U2. Still brings up emotion for me, says Eileen in County Clare. Fleetwood Mac, Go Your Own Way. Did you say? Yeah. Did you say?
Tell me why everything turned around. Backing up so you won't.
Again, a bit jaunty, a bit happy for a breakup song.
If I could.
I know, listen to the lyrics, Ray. Yes, yeah, yeah.
Open up, everything's waiting for you.
It's a bit like TikTok, really, because when you talk to people who are on TikTok, they know about 30 seconds of every song. They don't know who sings it or when it was from, right? Like that's the Friday here. It's like TikTok. So which song do you want to hear in its entirety? I've only three of them. I have that one there lined up, yeah. That's ABBA. Or I have this one. Go On Now, Go, Walk Out the Door, I Will Survive. Or this one. Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. So is it one, is it two, is it three? It's three. Everyone says three, I think, yes. Good afternoon, 51551, ray at rte.ie. Amy Winehouse. Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. What a great song. Knowing me, knowing you, if you watch the music video, it's very breaky-uppy. All right. I like that, breaky-uppy. The greatest breakup song, The Winner Takes It All by ABBA, says Patton Dundrum. And Meatloaf's Two Out of Three Ain't Bad's a good one. There's Jimmy and Carlo with all of our favourites. I told you this before, but years ago when I was about 14, anyway, Honesty was the song because there was a breakup and, Billy Joel had a song called Honesty and I got the album and underlined the name of the song and sent it to a person. My word, that's embarrassing. Mariah Carey, Can't Live If Living Is Without You. Yeah, that's not her song, but she did a version of it. Yeah, that's a good one too. It depends how you feel about the person, doesn't it? Who you're breaking up with and who did the breaking up and all that sort of thing. Anyway, better tell you about our Reeling in the Ears quiz. Here we go. Yep. We are looking for two people to come on after 4 o'clock and answer three questions each on songs, news reports, TV shows and movies. Great prize this week. Thanks again to the people in the I Knew a collection of hotels. They're all over the country. Kilkenny's Chic Hibernian Hotel, Dundalk's Fairways Hotel, Tullamore Court Hotel, Hillgrove Hotel in Monaghan, or any one of the Radisson Blue Hotels in Athlone, Cork, Limerick and Sligo. Inua.ie for more information. Now, here's your qualifying question on this Friday. Bruce Springsteen has announced a new album for November, but we want to know the name of his third album. Was it Born to Run or Born to Fly? So, Bruce Springsteen's third album, was it called Born to Run or Born to Fly? 0818 715 925. 0818 715 925. And good luck with that.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
What about the Righteous Brothers? You've Lost That Love and Feeling. That's a good one. This was my breakup song, Ray. Glad we did break up, as I wouldn't have met my soulmate. I don't know that one. No Doubt, Don't Speak. We had that one in there as well, but I didn't play it. But that's a good one, yeah. Yeah, that's it when you're saying, you know, it's not you, it's me, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And she's saying, just stop trying to explain it. Just go. Leave me alone. Don't speak. That's the message there in that song, in case you didn't know. Now, the warehouse for Kenny's Bookshop in Galway has turned into somewhat of a treasure trove. Back in May, we spoke with Sarah Kenny about finding two gold coins, or it could have been three, in the spine of a book that were worth about €5,000. And then last night, they, as in Kenny's, tweeted about their discovery of a signed copy of Roald Dahl's Matilda, which could have been there since he visited the shop back in 1987. And Tom Kenny from the bookshop joins us now on the line. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Ray.
Good to talk to you. So you're chairman of Kenny's bookshop.
I'm the elder lemon.
You're the elder lemon, yes.
Yeah.
Well, great. It's good to talk to the boss man. Thank you. So this is a great discovery.
It is, yeah. And of course it brought us all back because, God, it's what, 35 years ago now.
Yeah.
Our mother was always at us, Ray, you know, you should invite Roald to that bookshop. And like that was kind of like inviting God, and we thought, he'd never. But anyway, really, in order to keep her quiet, my brother eventually wrote to Roald, and he wrote straight back. And I'm actually looking at his letter now, and he says, "You have sent such a charming invitation that it is very difficult for me to refuse." And he goes on a bit then, and he says, "I'm not quite sure what it is I could be doing, except maybe signing lots of books. So please advise me." I remember we simply couldn't believe it when this letter arrived. And
can you remember, just before you carry on there, Tom, your brother then, who wrote the letter, why was it such a charming letter, and why did it catch the attention of Roald Dahl? I'm sure he got a lot of letters.
Yes, I'm sure he did. My brother, Des, he wrote that how my parents had met, fallen in love, had no money, it was during the war, and they decided to set up a bookshop,
right. Which
everybody thought was just a lunatic kind of idea at the time. And they did, but they were young, they were in love, they didn't care about hard work. They loved books and reading and so on. And, you know, it began to evolve and evolve and evolve from there. And he also described how the centre of Galway had changed from being quite a drab place with an awful lot of derelict buildings and empty spaces. It was at that time turning into what they all now call the Latin Quarter.
Yes.
And it was full of small lanes and streets and little shops and artisan shops and things like that. Very exciting kinds of... And it was a very lively place.
Yeah.
And he also described how we were running street festivals, and in particular, in our neck of the woods, it was a children's festival. And it was a two-day festival that we were going to have the following year, and we would love him to be the guest of honor.
Ah, you see, there you go. So how could he refuse with that?
Well, he didn't. This was the whole joy of it.
So you got this letter. You go, he's coming. He's coming. Roald Dahl's coming.
Yeah. And of course, it fired up the entire... My brother described, by the way, the... a lot of the activities that took place during the Streets Festival.
Mm.
And when he was here, Dad, he was amazed at this. He told us more than once that nowhere in the world that he had ever been was there anywhere that took such care of and encouraged their children so much into all kinds of art forms and fun and song and dance and painting and all kinds of activities.
Yeah.
And he simply loved that. And we understood why when we watched him in action then. He arrived on a Friday evening with his wife, Lissy, and his daughter, Ophelia. And the first thing he did was he came into the building and he walked all around us. And then he told us, he said, "This is where we will do the signing from."
Right.
And here are... He didn't say, "Here are the rules," but that's essentially what he was telling us. And rule number one was quite simply, no child is to be disappointed.
Right.
That's all. And that was the main thing. So we had been warned by his publishers that under no circumstances were we to pre-publicize this event, which was terrible. We wanted to tell the world about it. But we obviously told enough, because from very early the following morning, and for two full days, there was a queue up to the top of the street.
Wow.
I remember the first morning in particular, because suddenly there was Paddy Maloney and all of his children. And I said, how did you get here? Well, my children are addicts. They're Dahl addicts. So we were on the very early morning train. But there was a whole lot of others. We had to run from the station to stay ahead of the others in the queue.
And this is, of course, long before social media. So, the word got out and spread like wildfire, obviously.
It did, exactly. And once, of course, that people knew he was here, it spread even more.
Yeah.
So the queue went on and on, and it was fascinating to watch. Now, Roald Dahl suffered very badly from arthritis, and his hands were all completely gnarled. But he signed books for two solid days for everybody. There was thousands of photographs taken of him with families, with individuals, with groups. He had a word for everybody. Now, you would get a middle-aged man coming in and kind of shyly saying, would you mind signing this for John, please?
Right.
And I would say, is John your son? No, it's me. You know? Very shyly. Now, he would sign the book and hand it over. But it was the kids that really interested him and fascinated him. And I remember I wasn't in the room with them, only occasionally. It was my brothers and my father who stood beside them all the time. But I remember one fella, he was about seven, he came in and, "How are you, Mr. Dahl?" "Hello. You know the best thing about your books? You know that bit where she takes the gun out of her knickers and she shoots the wolf in the head?" And Dahl was a very big, tall man, and now he's coming down slowly to meet this fella to the same level. And they had about a 5-minute conversation. And he did that with an awful lot of the kids.
Yeah.
And you knew exactly where he was getting it from as well. Like, it wasn't all just coming out of his own imagination. He was feeding off the imagination of many other children as well.
He was probably more comfortable in the company of children than
without question.
Yeah.
Without question. And when he walked up and down the street during that festival, he had a word for anybody and everybody. But he stood and watched the kids. They might have been doing drawings on the street. They might have been making kind of plastic things, all kinds of different activities, doing little plays, dancing. He stood and watched and looked and, you know, spoke to them all the time.
Maureen, your mother must have been chuffed. Was she like, she was like to see
she
it.
Was. Yeah. She was thrilled.
Yeah.
She was absolutely, well, everybody was. I mean, he was an absolute charming man. I'm sure he could be very nasty if he wanted to, but we never saw any of that.
Yeah.
He was a terrific people person. He would tell you, you know, he gave out to one hotelier because the salmon he got wasn't, it was farmed salmon.
Oh, right.
And that wasn't what he came for.
He came for wild salmon.
Exactly. Yeah, and he got it as well, by the way, as it happened.
I believe he bought a Bonine cardigan as well.
He did, yeah. We had this extraordinary man across the street from us, Sonny Malloy was his name, and he had a very traditional drapery shop. You could buy galluses, you could buy canvas for your curragh, you could buy all kinds of things, and handmade Bonine jackets. These never had any buttons. They had pockets, but that was it. And
that'd be an Aran cardigan, would it?
A Bonine. Exactly. Yeah, they were traditional West of Ireland fishermen.
They'd be very fashionable now.
Yeah. Well, they weren't then. They were very fashionable then.
Yeah.
You can't get them at all now, Harley. I don't know of anywhere that makes them anymore. But...
And going back to the book, Tom, because it's Matilda, signed by him.
Yeah.
It's a first edition, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So back in the day, of course, signed copies of books weren't as common as they are now.
And certainly Dahl books were not.
Right.
As common.
Okay. Yeah, so, yeah. So what value do you think would people put on that?
At least 1,500.
Right. Okay.
There are some minor for a real collector of first editions. Our book, they wouldn't be really happy with it.
It's not pristine.
There are a couple of minor defects on it.
Right. Okay.
But that means that's what it's worth at least.
And do you think it's from that day or those 2 days?
We can't be sure.
Yeah, you see.
The signature is instantly recognizable for us. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And are there photographs of him in the bookshop?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. In fact, we had a lady the other day. It's very interesting. She was telling one Ronan, who works at the desk, about how She remembered as a young person standing for ages outside the bookshop, and she wasn't quite sure why she was there. And then I met this big man with a red jumper, and as she was talking, she saw the photograph behind Ronan on the wall. Oh my God, that's him. And it brought it all back.
Isn't that lovely?
And out came this big long story of her reminiscences and memories.
And Tom, just before I let you go, and I know you have the warehouse there and I shop online with you and all that sort of thing, you must miss the bookshop there on Shop Street.
Yes, we do. Yeah. I mean, see, we woke up one morning and we realised we were selling more books online than we were on the high street.
Yeah.
And the cost differences were extraordinary. So we came to a decision to move the books out of the building. We stayed on in the art gallery end of it for a while. But when the downturn came, we just couldn't justify staying there. So we moved the gallery back out. Now we're in a kind of an industrial warehouse type situation. Ever since we got here, we've been trying to recreate the kind of character that the building had in the middle of town. But it was an old medieval building.
Mm.
So, yes, what we miss, of course, is the footfall. So the people wandering.
Yeah, and I remember, for example, there were thick walls in that, because I remember sitting in on a windowsill reading a bit of a book. You would have been able to do that, wouldn't you? Yeah, back in the day.
One part of the building went back to the late 1400s.
And that's why
they wouldn't let us do anything with it.
Right.
And that was why eventually we had it became not very efficient for us in that sense.
It was
a beautiful building, full of character, and full of characters, as I say, with the footfall. Now, we still have a retail bookshop here. We don't have anything like the footfall, but most of the business that we do is online, but in fact, people still come. And we have lots of readings and events and poetry book launches and people coming to do signings, all that kind of thing.
Yeah, the passion your family have for books lives on, and that's at the core of it.
The third generation are there now. And happily they still have that passion,
Tom, thanks for talking to us. Will you sell that on, or will you keep it, or what?
No, we have sold it.
Oh, you've sold it. It's gone, right.
The moment it went online, my daughter put it online.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Just ripped up.
Tom Kenny, chairman of Kenny's Bookshop in Galway. Thanks, Tom. Thanks for talking to us. Have a good weekend. See you now. Bye.
God bless, thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Just a reminder about our quiz. We're looking for two people to come on after 4 o'clock. 0818715925. 0818715925. Bruce Springsteen has announced a new album. What we want to know is the name of his third album. Was it Born to Run or Born to Fly? Now, joined live in studio by four women who'll be getting completely naked on a beach tomorrow and jumping into freezing cold water.
What?
Yes, that's what you're doing. That's what you don't know that. It's part of strip and dip. It's a native Evine's pink tie. So we have Michelle Daly. How are you doing, Michelle?
How are you?
Good. Mary Galvin. How are you doing, Mary?
Hi, Ray.
Maria Wilkins. How are you doing, Maria?
Hi.
And flown in, especially from Connecticut, in the United States of America, Pamela Mangan.
Hi, everybody.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having
us. So, Michelle, Mary and Maria, you are all newbies.
First time.
So what time tomorrow is it?
Well, the dip, I think we said we hope to be in the water for 12.
12?
Yeah, 12 o'clock.
So it'll be all over by this time tomorrow?
It will. Yes.
Yeah. And is that a good thing, do you think, Michelle?
We'll all be drunk by this time tomorrow.
We'll
be all having a bath.
It's always a good thing. We'll have a big party
afterwards.
We'll
be warming up.
Yeah.
Everybody will be warming up, that's right.
We'll be warming back up, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so you all have connections to cancer, and that's what's motivated you. But there's more to it than that, because it seems to me, having spoken to women over the years who've done similar type events, is that it's sort of a life-affirming, liberating type experience. What are you hoping to get from it, Michelle?
I've never done anything like this before. And every year I work with a group of girls, and we're healthcare workers, and the girls do it every year. And they keep saying, do it. I've always just been so embarrassed and conscious of my own body. And then I got married this year and I said, well, he's not going to run now. I have the ring on. I'm getting me kit off and I'm doing it. Yeah. You know?
You're getting your kit off in the company of 800 other women.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yes. I mean, no one's going to be looking at you. Everybody's...
Nope.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's just running for the one thing.
And it would be too cold.
Yeah. It's
so you've sort of flirted with this idea before but never done it.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, but I've never done it. I've never had the courage. And the girls from work, one girl in particular, does it every single year. And she's amazing at doing it. And she just said, Michelle, no one cares.
Yeah.
You know, just you lose all your inhibitions and you just, no one cares. And it's so liberating, as you said, like, you know, so...
Yeah, Pamela, we invited you in because you've done it before.
Yes,
so this will be your third dip, will it?
Yes, it will. Yeah, I was part of the world record dip in 2018. Yeah.
How many? Can you remember how many women?
2,505 women.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was, and it was totally awesome. I mean, we even, the strip and dip made the marquee and Times Square in New York. I mean, when that record was broken, it was all over and it was totally amazing.
Yeah.
Totally amazing.
And you flew over especially for it.
I did. Yeah. I did. Yep, yep.
So tell us about Leanne then, your sister.
Well,
so
my sister Leanne passed away in 2018, and that's the first year I did it. She was very ill, having chemo. I'm a breast cancer survivor myself, so when I was doing treatment, Leanne always came with me. So when it was her turn, unfortunately, I went with her. And I had been friends with Deidre on Facebook. I had never done it before. I kept telling Leanne about the strip and dip. And the thing that really kind of stuck in my head was these ladies, because she posted on Facebook, she had a strip and dip page, was these ladies, you could just see their backs and their bare bottoms, and it said, kicking cancer's ours. And I just said to Leanne, I have to go there. I have to do this. I have to be part of this. And she said to me, she said, Pammy, if you don't go, you're always going to regret it.
Yeah.
And I did go, and she passed away in August of from June to August. And so now I do it for her.
You do it for her.
Yeah, because I know she can't come and do it. Yeah. Plus all the little ones that have cancer that need.
And that makes the event so strong because everybody's doing it for somebody.
Yep.
Yeah, I think everybody's been touched by cancer in some shape or form.
So Mary, you've been touched by cancer yourself.
I did. Oh. I was. I had lung cancer. Right. It was quite sudden. And if I'm going to say anything about it, it's really just get yourself seen. I know Pam's sister had lung cancer too, and wasn't as fortunate as I was, but it's detection. And it's, you know, you think it might be pneumonia, but if you're coughing and have a persistent cough, just make sure you get it checked out.
So,
and I mean, the reason I'm doing this, I don't think I'm not doing it for me. I'm the reason I'm doing this and taking my clothes off tomorrow is for Aving's Pink Tie.
Yeah.
It's for raising money. And I mean, that's what we're here today. And every time I hear people talking about charities on the radio and they want to raise money, now we're only 15,000 away from the million mark. If I could just ask every single person listening to please get onto stripanddip.ie right now and pledge €1.
Yeah.
There's more than 15,000. There's more than 15,000 people listening.
You're very good at doing that.
If I could just thank you.
Really awesome.
Very good at doing that.
The other thing is, and I was thinking about this, like taking my clothes off. We've all been a lot of us in the group that I'm a part of. I sing with the Sea of Change choir,
right?
And we kind of go out and do gigs and try and raise money for
all
for
women
cancer.
Who've been affected by cancer. Yes, now, you were on Britain's Got Talent or X Factor.
I personally wasn't because
the choir was,
and they did very well. But I think it's, you know, exposing yourselves, getting nude. It's the fact is that we've all been exposed personally to cancer, or we've been exposed to people who, friends and family that have got cancer.
Yes,
and for me, that's why I'm taking my clothes off is nothing. I've been exposed and vulnerable, and, you know, on a table. And the other thing as well, is just that...
she has a list in front of her. She's not stopping us.
Shut that earphone in, you see.
No, I thought it was important to say as well that when I had cancer and I really was quite sick, a couple of things went wrong. But, you know, you're kind of you're in a mist. You don't really know what's going on and you're kind of having this surgery. Everything's very unreal. It was for me anyway, personally. But I think it's family members and it's Aving's Pink Tie. If your kid has cancer, I mean, it's not just the child, obviously, who's suffering. I think, and even if the child passes away, that the family have to live with this forever. And then there's all, of course, the financial things, and that's why we're trying to fundraise today, is because of the financial burden,
what an event.
Now, guys, sorry, Ray. Are people listening?
I'll have to cut you off.
security.
This is like, we're going on to a late debate here now. Maria, we'll come back to you, Maria. Don't worry, Maria. So this is particularly sad for you because it's raw.
It's very personal.
Yeah, yeah. So we're coming into October. So next month it'll be the anniversary of your mum, Bridget's.
Yeah, she passed away last October, 17th, of lung cancer.
Yeah.
And she went into hospital and never came out.
Yeah.
So it's very, very personal to me. I lost my sister in 2015 as well, to cancer as well. So it's not just about them, though. It's about making them laugh from the heavens, but it's about, it's about body confidence. It's about doing it for the kids. It's about just getting out there and enjoying your life a little bit. I didn't do that a lot, but now it's the start. Ever since I joined the Sea of Change choir, it's just little by little.
Yeah.
I'm getting my foot out there to do new things.
But it's so important, isn't it?
Yeah.
Out of your comfort zone.
You need to step out.
Yeah.
You can't stay in that comfort zone.
No.
You're missing something.
Pamela.
Yes.
Liberating, life affirming.
Oh my gosh. I told the ladies when we were sitting out there, I said, tomorrow night when we're all done and we're having fun and, you know, and the money's been raised and of course more hopefully will still come in. I'm going to ask them all. I'm going to ask every single one of them how they feel right now.
Yeah.
Because I always feel that, like Deirdre always says, when you go into the sea, you come out you go in as strangers and you come out as sisters and family, you know, and I want these ladies to know that even just sitting out there, I feel like I know them all already. Yeah. And I mean, I've only been here since... So, I haven't even slept yet. You know,
So Bridget's your mum, Marcella's your sister, Maria. And I love the fact that they're looking down on you.
Oh, they will. My mum used to think that I was mad, and I know she'll know that. I can hear her laughing already, and I'll be screaming her name when I get into that one.
I suppose, Michelle, when you were looking at your colleagues doing this, you thought they were a bit mad, did you?
I did. And then when I heard the date this year, my dad will be 7 years dead on Sunday. He died of cancer, so I thought if there's a reason to do it, it's now. He'd be up there going, put your bloody clothes back on, Michelle. But like that, mum and dad would be up there looking down, having a laugh, and it's good to know you've done. Even if there's still time to register for women, I think, to join, and even if you were only to raise every euro helps,
because it looks like since 2013 by tomorrow, Strip and Dip. It looks like they're going to hit the target of 1 million, which is phenomenal.
And the 2018 dip, it was very instrumental with them buying the house.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that money's raised really put them to where that they could buy that
And that's
house.
Out near Crumlin. So the parents can stay there while they have very sick children in the hospital.
In St.
John's. Which is hugely important.
Oncology ward.
Yeah, that's the cancer ward.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. So you... You are sort of nervy. Do you think it'll be a sleepless night tonight?
No, not at all. I was just thinking, if you go to a party and you see another woman in the same dress, you know, you kind of go, oh, God, we're wearing the same dress. Tomorrow,
we'll all be wearing the same dress.
Nothing to say. It'll be later on at the party that we'll be saying, oh, look at that.
And my daughter always says to her, she'll say to her friends, you have no idea what my mother is doing now. That's what she'll say.
And everybody was tomorrow evening going, God, you look great with your clothes on.
Yeah. Didn't recognize
you. But of course, and I think you said it at the beginning, Michelle, like everybody's just worried in their own little world. Nobody's paying any attention.
It's just the human body. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We have to move on.
We all have the same bits and pieces.
Yes, we do. No. Well, I don't have the same as you, obviously.
Well, not that we know of anyway. Yeah. We're just all different shapes and sizes and you just have to embrace it.
Yeah. And what does himself think? So you got married in July.
I got married in July, yeah. To a Ray Darcy lookalike. I'll show you a picture.
I think just the Irish male. I think Irish male, blue eyes, balding, fair skinned. That's it.
Just says fair play to you. Do it. Like,
He said,
do,
yeah.
Yeah, he said, fair play to you, go and do it.
Yeah.
I right. don't think he thinks I'll actually do it, but.
You are going to do it, though.
When yes. I wake up at 7:30 in the morning to go, I'm off, see you.
Yeah, what's yeah. the. I see yeah. Up on the Facebook page, it's 13 degrees, which is nippy enough.
Yeah.
But it's sunshine.
Yes.
So that's good. So
we're
it's not going to be raining like
that.
Today. Yeah.
Rain's
and I was just on the Facebook page and Orla Kavanagh says, en route from Cork, let's hope the rain stays away for tomorrow. See you in a few hours. Looking forward to seeing you all tomorrow. Evine's pink tie, hashtag going for a million. And Dee, who's the organiser,
yes.
Says, ladies, look out for this legend. That's Pamela Mangan. That's you. Boarding an Aer Lingus flight for the third time for the US this year. Her sister yep. Kathy is with her. If you see this amazing woman, give her a hug. She's a legend. And Catherine says, dip fever has it big time, bags yep. packed and ready to rock and roll tomorrow. Let the madness begin. And come on, ladies, help us reach our goal. And that goal is €1 million for Evine's pink tie.
So strip
yeah,
and
so
dip.
Everybody get on to
strip and dip. Strip and dip, strip and dip, strip and dip, strip and dip. Yeah, 1st of October. What could go wrong? What, like, who's, you're hoping that there's going to be a sing-song afterwards?
Oh, yes, there definitely will be.
What?
There definitely will be.
Yeah.
The beach is going to be kicking tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely.
We're going to be staying yeah. on the beach till about 3:30. There's yeah. a marquee and stuff.
Oh, is it right?
Yeah. We're going to have a bit of a party on
there
the beach.
There will be sing-song. Will I play a bit of See It Change?
Oh, choir? Do yes, please. Yes, yes. Oh, we're going to be actually awesome. We're going to be on local radio, aren't we?
Yeah. So, yeah, so this is a rewriting of the Queen song.
Yeah.
Just, we recorded song. It last week.
I'd say Freddie Mercury. Yeah, Freddie Mercury has a smile on his face as well, wherever he is.
Yeah, wherever he is.
Yeah. Not too late to sign up, as you're saying, stripanddip.ie. My 4th year doing it, wouldn't miss it. Have made the best pals doing this. Lost all my body issues. So that's an even drum chondra. Mm-hmm. So is that a thing for ye? But is that part of it?
Yeah.
I know you said you're not doing it for you, but is the...
Well, I mean, I'm not doing it for me, but I mean, it is going to affect me, as Pamela said.
Yeah.
I mean, taking off your clothes and jumping. I don't know which will affect me more, taking off my clothes or jumping into the cold water.
I imagine it's quite an emotional day. Everybody there for the one thing, you know.
Yeah.
That can be quite overwhelming in itself.
And everybody remembering a loved one that they've
lost. And why they're doing it.
I always say, these are fake because my real ones tried to kill me. So people see this, they're like, oh, that. But you don't. You don't see this.
You see beyond
this.
Yes.
You see the story behind this.
It's not the physical, it's the emotional that will be.
It is. You just
Pamela
don't
was
see.
Pointing at her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, for people who aren't watching on television. It's been a real pleasure being in your company for the last
while.
Thanks, Michelle.
So much.
Thanks, Mary. Thanks, Maria. Thanks, Pamela. Yep. And enjoy tomorrow. Enjoy
it. Thank you so much.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Gurma, good Eileen. Thank you very much. Have a good weekend. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. I broke up with a girl many years ago and gave her a vinyl 45, and the record was Love Don't Live Here Anymore. I forgot about that one. Rose Royce, yes. If she's listening now, she'll know who she is. Tell her I'm sorry. Oh, that's so sad, isn't it? Yeah. You abandoned me. Oh, yeah, with those drums, I cried myself to sleep listening to that so many times back in the 70s. What about this one? How can we make a broken heart and mine is? How can you stop the rain from falling behind? You stop us, that old sun from shining. And when you're in the middle of it, you think you'll never survive. But you do! It passes. And that's probably
scant consolation for anybody listening today who's suffering from a broken heart. Let's do our quiz. Here we go. Press the button there. Yes, thank you. Yeah, we've two quizzers standing by and we have a prize. A two-night stay in any one of the iNua Collection hotels, and you get dinner on one of the evenings as well. iNua.ie, they're all over the place. In Kilkenny, the Hibernian Hotel, Dundalk's Fairways Hotel, Tullamore Court Hotel, Hillgrove Hotel in Monaghan, and the Radisson Blue Hotels in Athlone, Cork, Limerick and Sligo. Hello, Brian.
Hello, Ray. How are you doing?
Not too bad. You're in Navan.
That's right, yeah.
You moved out from the city, did you?
Well, a Wicklow man originally,
oh, Wicklow,
and then a bit
right.
of time in Dublin, and then, yeah, out to Navan now.
Right, so you went through Dublin on your way to Navan, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly.
Were you working today?
I was, yeah. I was working now. I'm a teacher, so we have a half day on a Friday, which is
nice.
Very welcome.
Yes, that's so nice, isn't it? Yeah. What do you teach?
I teach German.
Right.
Yeah, quite a popular one for people who like it, and not so popular for people who struggle with it. I suppose that's how I'm describing it.
Yeah, and say in the school you're in now, what other European languages are on offer?
Just German and French.
German and French, so right.
A straight shootout, really.
And would most people go for the French? No?
No. To get a bit of a taster program in first year, and then it's kind of, we try to keep it 50-50 after that.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
Now, your wife is pregnant.
That's right, yeah.
Is that your first?
It is our first.
That's exciting.
It's fantastic. It's really, really exciting.
Yeah.
We're delighted, obviously. Great news, yeah.
And when is the baby due?
End of February, start of March.
Okay.
That neck of the woods, yeah.
Yeah. How are you feeling?
Yeah. Oh, delighted. It's obviously, it's our first, as I said, so it's, you know, it's all the excitement and things to look forward to and stuff, and a little bit of the unknown and that sort of thing, but no, absolutely delighted.
Yeah, and how is Colette?
Brilliant, yeah. I've learned a whole new language now, trimesters and weeks and all this.
Yeah,
so the second trimester now, which is, I think, a little less bumpy than the first trimester. So this is kind of the
golden
period, hopefully.
I remember a doctor saying to us, you know, it's like going on a plane trip. So there's problems. There could be problems taking off and landing, but the middle bit's fine.
Yeah, so we're cruising at 30,000 feet now, hopefully,
right.
So let's hope it pays like that.
Now, in my head, I was going, what about turbulence? Anyway, but there you go.
Well,
I didn't say it out loud.
Hopefully we won't worry about
that. Yeah, you won't worry about turbulence. Right, you're up against Bernie Ahern in Kildare. How are you doing, Bernie?
Hello, Ray. Hello, how are you?
Whereabouts in Kildare are you?
Hiya, Bernie.
I'm in Kilcullen.
Right, lovely town.
On the lovely River Liffey.
Yes, nice. And what are you up to today?
So I'm still at the desk. I'm officially working, but I'll take a little bit of liberty because it's an Australian company I work for and they start us early. So I could have 6 a.m. meetings, so I can't be here until too late on Friday.
Yes, it's because a different time zone, obviously.
Yeah.
So are you working through their office in Australia, or have they got an office here?
So we've an office and a warehouse in Dublin, and I work from home and in the office in Dublin. So kind of a mixture between home and office.
Right,
hybrid.
Okay. Yeah, hybrid. And is that suiting you?
Yeah, it suits me fine. I used to work from home before this, so hybrid is a new thing for me. Everybody else is complaining about home working. I'm getting the hybrid for the first time.
Right, okay. Who's at home with you?
So home today I have Jamie. He's 18. He's doing the leaving. And
right.
I have Danny. I dropped him off into Newbridge into Nando's for spending his own money and going to the cinema with his friends. He's in transition year.
Okay, what's he going to see?
Actually, I don't know.
Do you not?
I don't know.
Should you not really be concerned about what your 16-year-old son is going to see in cinema? I'm joking.
I trust him totally.
Okay, you did the Camino, did you, earlier in the year?
Yeah, I did. I didn't get away for the summer, but I did get away just before Easter. I did the Camino for a week. I ended up going on my own because my friend, unfortunately, had a bereavement.
Right.
So I ended up, at the very last minute, doing it on my own, which was interesting, challenging, but really, really worthwhile.
Yeah,
really good.
I'm looking at your dress there. So are you close to where Tony O'Reilly used to live? Yeah, there.
That's
right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, just across the road.
That lovely big house.
Yeah.
Is that occupied now, or is it?
I think someone bought it. I think, I'm not sure.
Right. Okay.
Yeah,
Castle Martin. We're talking about. Okay. So it's Brian plays Bernie. Three questions each. If you go for a long clip, you get a point. If you go for a short clip, you get 2 points. So whoever gets the most points is the winner. And if it's a draw on points, we go to a tie-break question. Good luck to you both. Here we go. Okay, Brian, the year is 2017, so we're talking 5 years ago. And we're starting at the movies. So do you want a long clip or a short clip?
I will have a short clip, please.
Short one, okay. Yeah. This movie is the second installment of a classic 1980s sci-fi film. Can you name it?
Got a name? Officer KD6-3.
That's not a name. That's a serial number.
All right. Joe.
What do you want, Joe?
Well...
A 1980s.
Yeah, it's a 2017 movie, but it's the second installment of a classic 1980s sci-fi film.
No idea. Star Trek.
No. Blade Runner. So that was Harrison Ford there and Ryan Gosling. Okay, so nothing there for you. Bernie, movies from 2017. What do you want to do, short or long?
I think I'll try long, actually, please.
Okay, this historic World War One movie made it to the top of the box office. Can you name it? Here's your long clip.
And even if this island or a large part of it was subjugated and starving, then our empire beyond the seas, armed and guarded by the British fleet, would carry on the struggle until, in God's good time, the new world with all its power and might steps forth to the rescue and the liberation of the old.
Well...
I haven't a clue, I'm sorry.
World War One movie, Dunkirk. And there was a good Irish connection there. Barry Keoghan and Cillian Murphy were in it, and Harry Styles was in it as well. No Irish connection there. Okay, so on to music then, Brian and Bernie. Second question, 2017. Brian, do you want to go long or short?
I'm not great in 2017, so I may as well go short because I don't think I'll know a long one, so I may as well go short.
Right, okay. I don't understand your logic there, but I'm going with it. This song was at the top of the charts in 2017. Can you name the song or the singer? Jump in the Cadillac. Girl, let's put some miles on it. Anything you want, just to put a
smile on it. You deserve it, baby, you deserve it.
He's clicking his fingers and everything.
Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like.
That's what I like is the correct answer, yeah.
Brilliant.
Well done, Bruno Mars, 2 points. Yeah, it was worth the wait on the clicking of the fingers.
I'd never have gotten Bruno Mars, but I could just hear the song in the head of the
Right, there you go. Okay, Bernie, you're under a bit of pressure now. Music from 2017, do you want to go long or short?
I think I'll have to go short, please.
Okay, this song was a huge hit across the world. Can you name the song or the singer? Love how you put it on. Got the only key, know how to turn it on.
The way you nibble on my ear, the only words I want to hear. Oh, sorry, I don't know.
No.
Don't know.
Despacito. Justin Bieber there. Okay. Now, here we are, Bernie. You haven't scored yet. Brian, you're on two. So if you get anything out of this, Brian... You're today's winner.
Yeah.
And if you don't get anything out of it and Bernie gets her final question right on a short clip, then we're into a tiebreak situation. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, sure. I may as well go along this
go
time.
Go along, okay.
Even if it helps, I don't know.
Right. 2017, News and Current Affairs. A famous musician took over the Irish charts in a very unique way in 2017, listening to this clip of his granny. Can you tell me who it was? So a long clip.
His older brother visited Anne many times when they were growing up.
Oh well, I always love seeing any of my children or grandchildren or great grandchildren. I honestly never think of him as famous, you know. I have to say, because he's exactly the same as he always was when he visits, and it's very rare because he's always working.
Who's she talking about?
A musician's grandmother, was it?
Say again. Yeah. Musician's grandmother.
Ed Sheeran
is the correct answer. Yes.
Oh.
And his album, every song in the album filled the ranking from number 1 to number 16. Never done before. I don't think it's been done since either. So Ed Sheeran, you get a point. You're today's winner. Sorry about that, Bernie.
That's okay. Well done, Brian.
Bernie, we're going to send you a couple of Radar Show mugs.
Thank you very much.
Lovely talking to you. Enjoy the weekend. See you. Bye. That's Bernie there in Kilcullen. Brian is in Navan and you're going to one of the Inua hotels. Brian, INUA.ie. And you can go there and pick one of the many hotels from the collection around the country. Well done.
Yeah. Thanks a million,
good luck with everything. You and Colette and the new arrival in spring and all that sort of thing. And thanks so much. Well done. See you, Brian. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye,
thanks a million, Ray.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. That's
There you go. Now, it's National Tree Day on Thursday, 6th of October, which is next Thursday. And the Tree Council of Ireland, supported by SPAR, are encouraging primary schools across the country to get involved and plant a tree. Aine Ní Leabhar, who's the boss woman in the Tree Council, joins me now in studio with 2,000 free native Irish holly trees in a bag that she's left outside the studio for schools around the country. How are you doing, Aine?
I'm grand, not a bother. Well, I'm not the boss woman. Poor Brendan Fitzsimons will have a fit. I'm the president, but he's actually the CEO.
Oh, right, okay.
So well, I don't want to be crossing the people's toes.
You're a non-executive boss. Is that okay to say?
I'm not a boss at all. Yeah. I'm a colleague.
You're a colleague, right. Great to see you.
It is National Tree Day, that's right. Yes. And, it's Spar National Tree Day, and it's the day every year when the Tree Council of Ireland go out, you know, and make sure that primary school children know all about trees.
Yes.
So we have a special website, treeday.ie, all sorts of lessons and fun games, all that kind of things for kids in school, and the teachers can download it and stuff. And you can also sign a pledge and say you want a tree. And if you want a tree, then the Tree Council will post it out to you. So I'm taking the bag away with me so that we can stick them all in envelopes and send them out.
So they post out holly saplings, do they?
Yeah, yeah, but they're about the size of a pencil. They're sapped. The clue is in the name. They're saplings.
And is now the time of the year to plant trees?
Yeah, well, I mean, the time of the year for planting trees is the winter time. So this is the start of the winter. And then it goes right round to March when we have National Tree Week.
Yes.
And that's the other end, the other big festival we have, if you like, from the Tree Council.
So if people are thinking of planting trees in their gardens,
yes,
now is the time to do it.
And well, I mean, if they're planting a bare-rooted tree, now if you might get a tree in a pot, you can plant it any time you like.
Yes, okay.
It's just the bare-rooted trees that this is the time of year. Once the leaves have gone off them, you can plant them then as such.
Okay.
Now, I know there's leaves on the holly tree, but still, nonetheless, it's also included in this.
And the holly tree is a native
Irish tree. On Quillen, lots of places called after it. Moy Cullen, Glen Cullen.
Oh, right.
You know, Cullenswood, all of these places.
So Quillen, is it?
No, C-U-I-L-E-A-N-N. Quillen.
Quillen, all right, Quillen.
Conil Cullen, Níl Caoirán. Right. Quillen is the Irish word for holly.
Okay, right.
And there's boy holly trees and there's girl holly trees.
Right, and how do you know the difference?
Well, if you don't get any berries on it, it must be a boy.
Right,
but you don't know when you're getting it. It's like chickens. You can't know until something happens, you know. So they'll be getting their trees in an envelope and there's 50 chance it'll be a boy or a girl.
Just on the side. By there. I remember talking to a woman and that was her job. She was a chicken sexer. There's some factory up in Louth.
I suppose so, yeah. You'd want to, if you
and she used to pick up the little chicks and she was able to, she was an expert, you know. It was a very skilled job.
Well, you can't do it with a holly tree until you have to put out flowers, because the male flowers only have pollen in them and the female flowers then will have the fertilised plants.
So you might be disappointed that your holly tree doesn't have berries.
I know, but if you get a male, it'll do a job in the whole parish. I mean, somebody, there has to be a male tree someplace, or we won't have any berries anywhere. So you need both.
And that's the thing, I read Owen Dalton's book and it opened me up to a world that I was sort of didn't pay attention to. So it made me a different person. And now I'm going to have a chat with you, which would be a different chat than we normally have. But the thing that I didn't realise is that there are an awful lot of trees in this country that aren't native trees.
We have 28 native species of trees. That's all.
And how many species have we got in total?
In the world? Oh, I don't know. Thousands and thousands of species.
Yeah.
I mean, I went off to Costa Rica once and with Derek to do a programme on the rainforest. And we got, that was an over across there. We got out at the car park and I saw a tree over there and I said to our guide, "What's that tree?" And he didn't know. I think, God, what kind of a guy is he? He doesn't even know the tree. But he said there are 320 different species of trees in an acre of this woodland. And you, of course, had to pick on the one I don't know. Typical. So we've 22 native species in Ireland. But like Enda Kenny might say, it's a great little country for doing business in. It's a great little country for growing trees in. It doesn't get too hot, doesn't get too dry, doesn't get too cold in the wintertime. Yeah. So like trees from every other part of the world will grow here extremely well.
Okay.
There's hardly any trees that won't grow here. So we have vast numbers of species of trees here, but the native ones are the ones that arrived by themselves after the ice age. So they came little by little, the seeds moved on, they moved up, so they came, as it were, carrying their baggage. So the creepy crawlies, the biodiversity, all of that associated with them came with them. Whereas if you say plant a eucalyptus, you go down to Australia, you get a seed, you bring it back and you plant it.
Yeah.
But you're not bringing up the koala bears, you're not bringing up all the things with it. So it just comes by itself. So this is where the native trees are much more good for biodiversity than ones that are not native.
So will you explain to me, I was mentioning on Monday that I'd been up for a walk in Tignock in the Dublin Mountains and they are doing things up there. They're rewilding, or they've taken out some of the non-native trees and they're
Cuilte owned those lands, yes. And as they fell, the conifers that had been planted, you know, the conifers that they plant for timber, things like spruce and larch bole pine and those, they're crops. When you harvest the crop and you use them for timber,
yes,
you replant. But in this situation, they're, because these places so near to Dublin are really used for amenity, they're replanting all of that area now with deciduous woodland, which is an amenity forestry rather than a forestry
for timber. Will happen then? That's the flora. How will that affect the fauna then? The creepy crawlies and the squirrels and birds, if you provide it
and they'll come. I mean, if you provide food for things, well, then they'll come and eat it. Yeah. So the leaves on those trees will be the leaves that are eaten by the green flies and the aphids and the things like that, the stink bugs, the shield bugs, and then spiders, the robins, yeah, the birds that feed, and then will come in because it's worth their while. There's something to eat there. And then from that on, then you get the leaves falling off, the trees decaying, the mushrooms will begin to break those down. So you get the
amazing,
fungal flow,
yeah,
coming along as well. Yes. And then the leaves fall off altogether in the autumn time, so light gets through, which doesn't ever happen in a coniferous woodland. So when the light gets through, then these things can grow in spring. So woodlands are wonderful places in spring. It's getting warmer, but the canopy hasn't closed. So you have all of these spring flowers, like we all know, things like, say, primroses, things like garlic, things, yeah, like sorrel, all of these things that grow in a woodland early in the year before the canopy closes. So that's all happening when you have that kind of a woodland. Whereas if you have the other one, you're growing a crop, and a crop is a crop, and that's, yes, it. And it just becomes a crop of evergreens. But this situation is where you have it differently, and that's what they're putting in there. So it's more pleasant for people walking, yeah, and it's much better for wildlife.
And
as well,
for example, now they didn't plant any of those trees and they just left it.
Yeah.
Would it rewild itself?
Well, it would eventually.
Yes.
But I mean, the things have to be nearby. I mean, if you leave it there and there's not, you know, a mountain ash within the donkey's roar of the place,
it has to come little by little until it actually gets there.
Yeah, so by putting them in together, it hastens the process. But if we all tiptoed away and left Ireland and closed the door after us, eventually the whole place would turn back to what it was, which is temperate forest. And we say rainforest, if there was any other kind, is there desert forest? I mean, trees by definition need rain. So whether it's a tropical rainforest or a
Celtic
rainforest.
So why do they call them rainforest then?
Just to show off. You know, I mean, it's like tautology. I mean, there's no desert forest.
Right, okay.
But you see, tropical rainforest, we all think how wonderful they are.
Yes.
So then we're sort of people are saying, well, these are temperate rainforests, as if there were any other kind. But you know, it brings the rainforest in again. And the word is being used so that we're appreciating that these forests are comparable with the ones in the tropics,
yes,
because there's enough rain, there's enough moisture here to have them, and then they're full of all these richness and this biodiversity.
But over years and years of agriculture, etc., we've sort of got rid of most of them.
Well, we just chopped them all down because we needed to grow crops.
Yeah,
and we can't grow crops in the woodlands.
Yes,
so, I mean, as the population's increased, I mean, we've got something like 11% of the country covered in trees. That's all. Whereas at one point...
But what percentage of that now would be native? Because a lot of that
is... 3 or 4%.
That's it,
The rest of the conifers.
Are for crops.
But
we
might have had... No, the rest of the forest is conifers.
Right.
And then there's, 50% of the country, 50% is covered in grass.
Right.
And then, of course, you have mountaintops where there's no, and you have sand dune systems, you have rivers, you have lakes, so all those other things. So, you know, there's 11%, and we could have more than that planted with trees, which is why we're back to Tree Day coming up,
yes,
and Spar National Tree Day coming up on Thursday under the tree of Spar,
yes,
and having this. And if we give, I mean, we've been doing this for the last, I don't know how long, the Tree Council is around since the 1980s. We have been instrumental in planting 500,000 trees.
Yes.
The Tree Council itself, never mind anybody else or anything else, never mind having inspired other people to do it too.
Just really important. And what do you do with trees during the winter as well? Can you cut them back?
Do you want to be cutting down the tree?
Cutting them back a bit, because if they're blocking out the light or something like that, no.
Yeah, you can cut them when they're not growing up,
you see.
But I mean, it depends. I mean, long ago people harvested their trees, they pollarded them, they cut them down, they used the poles from the hazel, for example,
yes,
for, you know, I will arise and go now, clay and wattle made. Wattle was a basket work of hazel that they put mud on to build the walls.
Yes.
Half of Viking Dublin was done with wattle.
They've built one of those up in UCD there.
Yeah, they have. And willow was harvested as well, and they grew back, and other trees. So you cut them down, but you didn't cut them all together. You just cut them back and then there was new growth coming up again. Right. So, I mean, you can cut them back. Obviously, it's better to do it when the tree is not growing. So, I mean, if it's a deciduous tree and it's lost its leaves and you have to give it a haircut, give it a haircut.
Okay.
Yeah.
And elder versus alder, are they the ones, one and the same thing? We used to call them elders as kids.
There's two different trees.
Is there
an elder and one is an alder.
Oh, is that right?
And, the elder tree, the Irish for that is Trim, and Trim and County Mead, Baileagh and Trim. It has elder flowers on it, makes lovely champagne, elder berries at this time of the year, feeding up all your pigeons. Whereas the alder tree on Farnoge, places in Cavan called Farney this and Farney that, and it's a tree that has red timber when you cut it, and the red branch knights, them crowd above an Ulster for though, were the red branch knights because their shields were made from alder.
And
the alder tree is a different tree completely to the elder tree.
The elder tree is that we used to build little fences and pretend to be, you know, Raimondo Danzeo and Harvey Smith and all those sort of things. So we'd have two pegs, you know, you'd have two stuck in the ground, and then you put another one across. So Wild and Wonderful Around the World with Aina. So this is the second
of the two books I published recently. The other one was called Our Wild World.
Yes.
And it was how the world works. But this one is how it's a prequel, if you like, this is all the thing, as to how I knew how the world worked by going to places when these things weren't unpopular. And I was in the rainforests, I was in New Zealand, I was over in Alberta, the only place in the world where there are no rats, essentially. I went over there to have a look at that.
Why are there no rats?
Because they never got there.
Right.
The people got there first and shooshed them out, and you're back up against the Rockies, so they don't come in that way.
Right.
And you're against all the deserts looking down into US. They don't come up that way, and it's too cold up further north, so they only come in from Saskatchewan. They only come in from the east, and there's border patrols. I was out with fellas at the county council workers, you know, in case there was a rat. They weren't coming marching along, indeed not at all, but they were making sure that people were saying, oh, we have a rat, and you'd go, it'd be a skunk or it'd be a chipmunk or something, you know. But anyway, that's all in the book as well, and I went to New Zealand, saw a whale, so I'm telling you about that, and about the great big sequoias that are in
the trees.
These trees that are in California, the Californian redwoods, all of these kinds, and indeed going up to where it was cold, boiling eggs and geezers with Derek Mooney when we were making a program up there. All of these kinds.
Where's your favorite place in the world? I know that sounds like a childish question to ask, but because people are talking about forest bathing now, and you know, going out and been out in the open, and you do that all the time, so you must have a place where.
No, I like to go out. I mean, I did a lot of research when I was in college after that postgraduate research on sand dune systems. So I love sand dunes. I like going walking on those. I love woodlands. I mean, I love being out. So it doesn't really matter where I am. I can't say I love here and I hate everywhere else.
Okay.
It's like, which is your favourite child? You can't be asking questions like this.
Okay, right. Well, just explain to us very quickly, because we've less than a minute. It's the root system and how trees communicate with each other.
It's a rooting for nature. Under the tree, you have the roots. The roots have smaller roots, and then they have root hairs, and then they take in nourishment from where their roots are. And the next tree over there is doing the same thing. So by, you know, molecules moving in the water systems, you can actually have other information coming, if you like, other nutrients, other things like this. So this is called the Wood Wide Web, and it's a communication system in the soil, quite different to the fungal system, which is there as well. This is, you know, we see the mushrooms at this time of the year, but again, they have strands like spiders' webs going all through as well, and they will go from one area to another, and that will carry the information from one tree to another. It's amazing, and this was only all discovered relatively recently. So the trees are not exactly shouting, "Yoo-hoo-ray, I'm over here."
They're not sentient.
Oh, that's the next thing. Can they feel? Will they cry if you scream at them? I don't know. No. But this is what happens at any rate.
Okay.
So there you go. So National Tree Day
coming
up on Thursday.
Next Thursday.
So go on the website and look for your tree. And indeed buy my book as well while they're at it.
Yeah. Wild and Wonderful Around the World with Aina Nealon. Thanks so much, Aina. Thanks. Great to see you. That's it from us. Sarah and Cormac are on the way. We are back on Monday at 3 o'clock. Enjoy your weekend.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.